Okay, and we're back with Marshall Vian Summers. His two books, The Allies of Humanity, Book 1 and Book 2. All right, tell me more about Book 1 and what you learned. What specifically, and the big complaint about people who are involved with bringing information from the other side, from other dimensions, from other consciousnesses, wherever they may be, is that they're wonderful, they're long, they're fascinating, but there's no meat there. There's no hardcore stuff. Where's the stuff? I haven't had a chance to read the books. I've skimmed through them. They're fascinating. And so what hardcore data about the interventionists, and I'll call them plundering interventionists for the lack of a better term at the moment. Who are they and where did they come from? How many different groups are here? What are they doing? What's their timetable? What have you been able to find out?
Well, the two sets of briefings begins to fill out the picture pretty clearly. The intervening forces are literally commercial forces. They are not military forces. They represent trading associations that function in this part of our galaxy or this region.
Oh, really?
In which our world functions. And so mm-hmm. they do not come with armies and armadas, but instead, I think the closest that we can call them or think of them as kind of intergalactic corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
They're multiracial. They function at a very strict level of hierarchical control, hardly something that we as freedom-loving human beings would ever want to be a part of.
Okay, well, we've got the Greys, we've got the mantis, the praying mantis types, we've got the tall, the very tall Nordics. I assume these are within the basket of people who are here manipulating and doing what they are.
Well, the phenotypes that we are seeing are represent more working class, bred for specific purposes. As I mentioned, these organizations and the allies refer to them as collectives.
Huh.
And they distinguish a collective from an empire in that a collective has no home world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not centered in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say these are the low-life traders of our region.
Carpetbaggers.
They're not well-respected amongst freedom-loving races. Mm-hmm. They're very omnipresent, and they are always seeking for new resources and for worlds whom they can utilize or use mm-hmm. and support.
Exploit.
Exactly. But they're not destructive in the sense of the war of the world, where they're mm-hmm. going to come and lay waste to everything.
They don't need to be.
In fact, that's not their purpose at all. Their purpose is really to gain control of the world and the world's people and the world's resources. The allies describe, this is in the second set of briefings, the third briefing, there's a whole briefing about, entitled The Collective, and some of the things they reveal there are pretty interesting. The forces intervening in your world are not strong military forces, they are great commercial forces.
Hmm.
The visitors are not angels, they are not demons. They are driven by the same needs that drive humanity, and they will employ many of the same techniques that humanity has attempted to employ, though on a far lesser scale, in order to achieve its goals.
Hmm.
And they go on to say that the collectives will attempt to persuade the native race to come into alliance with them, rather than try to take the race by force. And the other thing that these briefings reveal in both books that is particularly important is what limits the collective's power. Where is their vulnerability? Where is their weakness? And one of their weaknesses is in their size. Whereas they may impress us with flyovers and demonstrations of advanced technology,
mm-hmm.
the collective presence in this world is actually very small.
Hmm.
It's using what is called a nature display.
Nature display?
A nature display where the peacock spreads its tail feathers
uh-huh.
in a show of power, or the gorilla stands up and pounds its chest.
So these would be the huge black triangles.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
It's a form of intimidation. Or
sure it is. Are you
flying over military bases and
messing with
the coordinates and things like that?
Messing with nuclear weapon systems and missile warheads and flying down interstate highways at 100 feet over traffic. That's pretty blatant. They're not making an effort to hide, that's for sure.
And it's very effective because many people who read the allies immediately reveal that they already feel helpless in their presence.
Hmm.
It's over. Many people said it's a done deal. It's already over. when in reality the Allies talk about the collectives as maybe having several thousand individuals, because they're far from home.
Several thousand.
It's
here.
An exploratory force compared to 6.5 billion unruly human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about the collectives is that they are restrained from using force. They're not allowed to use force. They're apparently in our galactic neighborhood, which is well inhabited, there are rules of engagement, and you cannot take another world by force, so you mm-hmm. bring down a lot of other groups on your head. In fact, in the second set of briefings and the fourth briefing, it states, if one collective sought to take this world by force, it would be countered by other collectives who have an interest in this world.
So we could see a big shootout in the skies above us, that kind of thing, if somebody went too far?
Well, that's right. I mean, there could be a recall.
Yeah, right.
It's the interesting thing in the chapter in the Great Warning that you mentioned in the first set of briefings. It says that the world could be overtaken without firing a shot.
Well, look what the Chinese are doing to the United States economy.
That's right.
Same kind of thing.
Advanced nations, it's not like Star Wars, you go blow up planets. That's primitive. That's a primitive mindset with advanced technology.
Melody.
I mean, I'm sure there are primitive races with advanced technology in the universe, as there are probably everything we can imagine. But advanced races have learned that the way to influence each other is more through the mental environment. If you can make human beings want you to be here, then you can meet the oversight requirements, which state that for a race to come into a new world, it has to appear that the natives welcome their presence. And that is why the time is being taken now to recruit representatives, apologists, to abduct lots of people who then become, you know, your apologists, at least the ones who are compliant,
mm-hmm.
to make it appear to anyone who might be observing from afar mm-hmm. that humanity is not in opposition mm-hmm. to this intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And that meets the requirement.
Got it.
If you think about multinational corporations, the way they function in the world today, they don't come in and destroy the village. They come in with their laptop computer and offer
right.
trinkets to the natives and
right.
and seduce the leaders and give them electricity and set them up to have their lands taken away. I mean,
what are they taking from this planet? What do they want?
They want the resources of this world, and those resources are primarily biological.
We are
part of the resource.
We're talking about genetic material.
We're talking about genetic material. We're talking about the diversity of life that exists in this world makes it a really paradise planet. A planet that, even though we're in the process of destroying it,
mm-hmm.
Still holds such immense biological value.
Really?
Mm. I mean, they're not after natural gas and petroleum.
Well, they sure as hell ought to do something to stop the morons in charge here from destroying it all, because it's going that way. And some people feel the point of no return in terms of environmental degradation and destruction here and collapse came and went in the late 1980s. I don't know.
Well, I think this is part of the intervention's power is to make us feel that without their intervention, without their advanced technology,
we have no hope. Right.
If you make people feel hopeless, they will not resist.
Right.
This is part of the pacification.
They'll come in and say, "Okay, we're going to save your planet. You're going to die.
Right.
The environment's finished. We're going to save it." So, all right, right away, 99% of the people will welcome them with open arms.
Well, they'll sign right up.
Sure.
And because we're unversed in the realities of life in what they call the greater community, which is the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be like primitive natives. We are natives of the new world. And if you show them trinkets from space,
right.
they will be persuaded that
dazzled.
They represent a higher moral standard.
Dazzled.
Dazzled, a spiritual,
piece of
spiritually
cake.
Enlightened.
Piece
In fact,
cake.
If I may, there's really six stages of this kind of pacification. I'd like to go through them, if I may.
Yeah, sure. Hold on. George, how much time till the break? Okay, hold on. Let's take our break. Let's remind people where they can get your books. Go ahead.
Yes, the Allies of Humanity briefings. Both sets of briefings can be certainly ordered at any bookstore or on Amazon.com. If you ever have trouble in finding these books or can't get them in a timely manner, you can always contact the publisher, New Knowledge Library, at nkl@greatercommunity.org. And the phone number there for ordering is 1-800-938-3891. And the Allies of Humanity website, and then there is the Greater Community website, which presents the entire Greater Community teaching, which is www.greatercommunity.org.
Phone number again?
Our phone 1-800 number is 1-800-938-3891.
All right, very good. The words of allies who have been here watching, trying to get the information to us. Pretty provocative material, to put it mildly. Be right back. Okay, back with Marshall Summers. Go ahead, Marshall. You had six things you wanted to make a point of, if you would, please.
Yes, what the Allies refer to as a pacification program. Mm-hmm. The purpose is to render acquiescence and compliance to the intervention.
Right.
And it seems to be doing a pretty good job with many people.
How do we perceive the time frame of such a pacification program? Relative 50 years, 100 years, to hundreds of years?
Well, according to the briefings, we have a pretty short amount of time.
Okay, how long has this been going on was my question, actually.
Well, the intervention, they describe the intervention going into its mature phase.
Okay.
After World War II, with
that
the
makes
development
sense.
Of the nuclear weapon and right. the degradation of the natural environment, which they value for themselves.
Right, well, it's going fast. Now,
they also mentioned that an intervention of this magnitude has never happened in the world before.
In this world or any world?
In this world.
All right.
And that such interventions are pretty common in the universe.
Oh.
But there are six aspects to this pacification, and I'd like to just go through them, if I may. And
please.
Talk about, if we have time in our show, to talk about what the Allies say we can do, because that's where this is taking us all.
Right.
The six aspects of the pacification is one, seduction, which is promises of power, peace, and technology.
Promise of power?
Peace and technology. Mm-hmm. In other words, they will say, we're bringing you peace, we have no war, we can give you free energy, free technology, free you from the conflicts and the labors under which you suffer.
All right, so when this happens, what the Allies are telling us is this is going to be prime time TV stuff. This is going to just be here, bang.
Well, when you go down when you go to the bookstore and you look on books written about ET contact,
mm-hmm.
You'll see these promises, so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and it's very seductive because
it is.
We think we can't save ourselves, so we'll anyone who comes along.
Hey, that's how we're taught. Go to the doctor. Save me, doctor, please.
That's right. Yeah.
Give me some pills. No one wants to take the responsibility, of course.
That's
I want someone else to say this. So it's a perfect match. I got it.
It's a perfect match. The second aspect is endearment. We are what you want to be. We are your family.
Okay.
This idea that, they seeded us, and therefore they're our relatives, they're our ancestors, they're our overseers.
They're our creators.
Our shepherds, our creators. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very disarming.
Mm-hmm.
And discouragement. You can't avoid self-destruction without us.
That's an easy sell, too.
That's an easy sell, too. Because there's an immense amount of cynicism as we become more aware of, human conflict, human deception. There's a growing sense of cynicism and hopelessness.
You bet.
And it's being seeded in the very people who probably have the greatest possibility of making a difference.
It's also being used by the evil dark ones who have taken over this country and much of the Western world.
Yeah. I mean, governments use this to pacify their populations.
Mm-hmm.
It's useless to resist.
Mm-hmm.
Alienation. Do mm-hmm. not place your faith in humanity or in human institutions. Humanity cannot redeem itself.
Humanity cannot redeem itself.
This is part
itself.
Of the persuasion. It's called mm-hmm. alienation. Alienating you from people from one another. Alienating you from
sure.
any kind of faith in well, human institutions, human leadership.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. And of course, you know, throughout history this has been used to have bring the people into revolution against their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Usually not with a good outcome, I should say. Number five, spiritual redemption. We are enlightened and you are not.
And we can show you the way?
We can show you the way. Let us in and we'll show you the way. And sixth, genetic manipulation. Bond with us and we'll strengthen you and make your children better.
Another probably easy sell, given where we are with GM. Everything's GM now.
That's right. And, you know, this is all because...
No more disease. You can see it now. We'll give you the genes, no more cancer. We'll give you the genes so you can live longer. We'll give you all...
That's right. And our faith in technology sets us up for this because we think that technology is now the saving force in life, that whatever problems arise, technology will be the answer.
It's our God.
It's our God, and who could be a greater God than someone with advanced technology?
Man, this is going to be a hell of a show.
However, the Allies say, if you put your faith in technology, you will give yourself over to those who have a greater technology.
Well, they're right.
And this is part
Everybody wants a faster computer, right?
This is part of the match, as you said.
Yeah.
And that we're matching up to this intervention very, very well.
Oh. Hand in a glove.
Kind of hand in a glove. And the intervention will seek to further erode our confidence in ourselves and in humanity. I mean, that's one of the ways that you get the opposition to not resist.
They're going to take this number five, spiritual redemption, and co-opt the entire, New Age movement, the majority of it. All the energy that's been put into spiritualization, understanding it, is going to be... They know how to dial it up.
Well, there's a whole briefing devoted to the manipulation of religious values and impulses.
There you
go. And I think of the four areas, maybe I should just mention them briefly. There's influencing individuals in positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
There's affecting religious beliefs and impulses, which includes both pacification and attack.
Mm-hmm.
Establishing a physical presence. Now we're talking about bases. And abduction. Is the number four, genetic engineering and new leadership for humanity.
So, and obviously these people are certainly capable of putting thoughts in people's minds and voices in people's heads. We can do that now. We've got voice-to-skull technology, but they can
That's
do
right.
it on a much higher level.
If they can talk us into giving over the kingdom, we'll give it over.
Oh, man.
And the New Age, if you look at the ideas and the assumptions of the New Age, it shows the effects of pacification through
sure
and through.
Sure does. Right there in neon lights. Back in a couple minutes. Don't go away. Okay, back with Marshall Summers and the Allies of Humanity. Two briefings, and they're apparently gone now. They gave the last briefing, and as you heard, a 24-hour period. Influencing people in positions of power, religious movements, penetrated,
affecting religious beliefs,
manipulated,
and impulses.
Establishing bases which are already here. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this basis issue. Now, I think the gist of what I'm hearing is that at some point, the collective are going to make an appearance. They're consulting with some of the, you know, I hate to say it, but the Bush cartel, other power structures, and they're going to make some kind of an appearance, right? Is that the game?
Well, allies are, you know, they say that there are several ways that can take place. The preferred outcome, as far as the collective, that they can determine, is to have a kind of a seamless transition of power. At some point, and this is the crazy thing about this, is that if the government ever did reveal what it knows, or what it says it knows,
right,
it could be the biggest deception of all.
Right.
So while there's all this effort for disclosure, the disclosure that may come may be the worst form of deception, because you can imagine the government announcing they've made contact with other races.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah,
this thing could
but
be
without
corrupted.
Without the races ever having to appear. Because
gotcha.
I think if we saw who these individuals are, we may not want to participate with them.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand.
And
so the deception is, the potential is limitless. We will not, I repeat, we will not know for sure what the hell's going on. We won't know. We'll know what they want
purpose.
Us to know.
The allies state their purpose is to give us everything we need to know to make the wise decisions about what we must do, without, you know, without tantalizing us with talking about, you know, propulsion and the names of their planets, and or tying into, you know, some of our current ideas about who extraterrestrials are. Clearly, we know just really nothing about the greater community in which we live, the universe that they call.
Oh, we're barely off the flat Earth issue here.
That's right. We're little kids who are just going out the front door for the first time, and in the neighborhood there are some big kids who rule the block, but we're just the little kids. And I think what the allies are emphasizing, they're presenting a problem that's so immense that you almost feel defeated in hearing it. But at the end, they tell you what you can do, and they make a big emphasis on emphasizing the power and the benefit, the power of humanity and its benefit to the universe around us.
I see.
Because we're one of the few evolving races that's been able to maintain a plethora, diversity of spiritual awareness and practice amongst more powerful technological nations that have become entirely secular, entirely hierarchical, and that there is an element and a potential for freedom in this world that's actually rare in the universe.
Hmm.
And that while we continue to look down upon ourselves and upon our presence in the world, they're really here to lift us up and to say, you've got something really special. But in order for you to keep that and to maintain that, you're going to have to learn about the greater community in which you live. You're going to have to learn some real street wisdom about what you're dealing with. For example, they say in the briefings that, you know, our first contact, for most worlds that are emerging into the greater community or beginning to have contact, their first encounter is with resource explorers. Now, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure it does.
You know, they're not meeting monks and saints. They're meeting resource explorers.
Right.
Like in South America, if we look at the history of South America and the colonization of South America, the European power certainly brought their priests with them, but they're there to take advantage of the situation and to exploit those native peoples and their lands.
Well, we still are. Look, four trillion barrels of recoverable oil in Venezuela, and now there is talk of CIA operations to get rid of Chavez and all the rest of it and install what they want to do is install another Bush-Cheney cabal Zionist puppet government in Venezuela. So we now have it. That's what a pathetic, primitive world.
The thing in the greater community that the allies want us to know, the greater community is not made up of a bunch of enlightened beings who live in peace and harmony with each other.
Mm-hmm.
As above, so below. The greater community represents, and these are their words, a competitive environment on a scale you can't even imagine.
Wow.
And for us to be able to participate in that environment, we have to be able to survive intervention. You could say, then, that we have a greater destiny in the universe if we can survive our time. And part of that challenge is what we've created for ourselves. And part of that challenge is dealing with intervention. And to meet both of those challenges, to make any progress, we have to restore our confidence in who we are and what we can do, and not look to human authority figures or to other kinds of experts to tell us who we are and what we know. So for that reason, the Allies briefings were not given to government leaders, not given to elite groups. They're given to people who, because of their own nature, have some kind of connection with the greater community. I'm sure that, Jeff, you and probably most of your listeners have some kind of connection to life in the universe, or we wouldn't be keep coming back to this difficult subject. But there's something here that we resonate with because we're connected to it.
Right.
It's being like connected to the future. And the Allies really are here to, I think, in their own way, to whatever extent they can, through imparting this wisdom to us, is to attempt to regenerate human confidence, human power, and human cooperation. Because it doesn't, you know, we're so locked into our sectarian and conflicted world that we don't see that we're going to need each other in the future. And if I may, I'd like to read just a couple of passages from the briefings that address this.
Yeah.
Raise your voice against the intervention, and the intervention is put at risk. Resist the intervention, and the intervention must stop. You have the power to resist. You have the power to unite. You have the power to cast off this influence. It is not information you need as much as perspective. If you cannot see the situation clearly, what good is having more information? To function successfully in the greater community, we're talking about as a race now, you must be self-sufficient. You must be united, and you must be very discreet.
Okay.
And then maybe when we come back, we could talk about what we could do as individuals.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. We will indeed do so with Marshall Summers right after this. Back, our last segment with Marshall Summers, and we're going to talk about what individuals can do. Certainly, first we can become familiar with and avail of ourselves of the knowledge that has been given to Marshall in these two volumes, Book 1 and Book 2, The Allies of Humanity. All right, so individually, what do we do?
Well, we have to really, whenever you're talking about trying to alter the course of life around you, you have to alter the course of your own life. You have to bring this deeper knowledge into your own life. Because
what? You mean responsibility?
Yes,
accountability?
Responsibility.
Well, this is a unique idea.
You know, this is what breaks the deadlock of manipulation and deception and control, is when people begin to take responsibility for their own destiny, to connect with this deeper spiritual intelligence that the Creator has given to all of us.
That's
to use.
Yeah.
To protect and to guide us and to give us the foundation upon which to unite. The Allies make a very strong statement that we have the power to cast off intervention. We have the power to set a new course. And without this intervention, we may not have the incentive to really cooperate. But with the awareness of this intervention, it has the power. If enough people knew about it, we're not talking about everybody, but some kind of critical mass, that this becomes then a whole new paradigm of how to function. So mm-hmm. when we talk about bringing this back into your own life, you have to become a person who can resist manipulation, both from a human and extraterrestrial form.
Well, and the array of weapons directed
right.
to prevent
whatever it
that is huge.
The Creator has given us something more powerful that in this teaching and the way of knowledge is called knowledge.
Yeah, all we got to do is reach down and pull the plug on the
TV
for
mind.
Openers.
It's a deeper mind, and the Allies yeah. refer to it as the most powerful force in the universe. Because if you are immune from manipulation, you have just, and you're facing an opponent who cannot use force. You outnumber the other, the intruding force, by millions to one.
Oh, easy.
Then, you know, really the power is on our side, just like the power was on the side of the Native Americans as they encountered their first, you know, as we approach Thanksgiving, from a Native American point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The power was all of the natives, but they gave it away. The power is with the people, but we give it away. You have to stop giving it away.
You trade it
and
off.
You do that without yeah. just raging against the system, because, you know, in this right. bigger picture, from my point of view, George Bush is not important.
No.
He's a minor figure. This is much bigger than George Bush or the Trilateral Commission. We're in a big neighborhood now. We're the little kids on the block. We're in a big neighborhood. And I feel that I've been kind of put into position of having to play almost a Gandalf role of trying to get people out of either hostility or complete, you know, depression and complacency.
Right, fatalism.
That's right, and it's so easy to go there. I mean, that's the easy path, is to just hang your head or rage.
Well, the skids are greased with, look at the remote control, cable television, any one of a zillion pharmaceuticals, booze, drugs, you name it. That's how you get there. And it takes a real strong, honest effort to reconnect and rehabilitate yourself so you can stand up and walk away from those devices.
Well, we have everything now at risk. There's no one who's going to benefit from this intervention. And if they believe they will, they've been extremely deceived.
If two-thirds of the world's people were to be eradicated, would it bother the interventionists much?
Oh, well, the intervention's planning to eradicate a large number of the world's population.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Unfortunately, if you read the chapter in the second set of briefings entitled "What Do They Want," it's pretty chilling.
Let's talk about it.
What they intend to do to this planet. I mean, this is not a pretty sight, and this is actually the nature of things in life. And we are, you know, with our anthropocentric notions of self-importance in the universe,
mm-hmm.
we fail to consider that, you know, we could be as easily replaced or displaced as we have displaced others.
I am aware of that every day.
Yes, and so
yeah.
I think there is a real rallying cry for a united human family, and perhaps the only way we can unite now, given our current level of collective development, is to unite in our own defense. And this could be a kind of a practical form of salvation, because when you see that our key to freedom is self-sufficiency, that runs totally counter to degrading the planet and to using up the rest of our valuable resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you see that human unity is critical because we can't afford to have any nation fall under extraterrestrial control, and we have to look at any arising conflict, for instance, the war of the fundamentalists, the war of Christian fundamentalists versus Islamic fundamentalists, as playing right into the hands of the intervention. I mean, it's you cannot afford to have those kind of conflicts. And it brings people back to natural law, to laws of nature, and to a kind of sobriety, but also a clarity that is critically important. And then there's been a document that's been created about this as a starting movement, you might say, called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty. It is based upon the Human Declaration of Independence.
Uh-huh.
It is entitled the Declaration of Human Sovereignty Regarding Contact with Extraterrestrial Nations and Forces. The document can be viewed at www.humansovereignty.org. And this is just a beginning statement, because ultimately we're going to have to bring a lot of people's skill and talent into this effort. But as I see it now, the Allies briefing is sort of the ultimate anti-war declaration. It says, if you fight each other, you're going to fail. You're going to be overtaken.
No question about it.
And it is just so fundamental. But I think there has to be a shift in our awareness to really see that. And when the Allies communicate, they do so in such a respectful and compassionate way. There's no sense of superiority or speaking down to us. It's really a plea that they want to have free nations in their neighborhood.
Right.
They do not want to see us fall and become a client state to foreign powers, as has happened to so many other emerging worlds. And it's more like a plea than a command, and it comes from a very spiritual place. And it's really, its emphasis is on the reemergence of human dignity, human cooperation, human authority. And that's where it leaves us. And the emphasis upon this spiritual power we have called knowledge, which enables us to overcome deception and ultimately to become a powerful and beneficial force in the universe.
Well, our human oppressors on this planet have been fighting to eradicate knowledge for many, many years. They are extracting knowledge from our society, our civilization. Knowledge is power, the ultimate power, and they let it all out when they want people to feel heady and confident. They pull it back. It's a game. So we may or may not see the end of the quote cover up for some time.
Oh, I think the cover up is probably going to be ongoing, and if it was ever pulled aside, I don't think you could trust the outcome. I mean, this is coming down to what people see and know. And this is coming down to the level of individual responsibility, collective responsibility. It's a leaderless revolution. It's a revolution inside of all of us. It's a revolution that we have to be a part of, because we have everything to lose. If you go read the chapter on what do they want in the second series of briefings, I mean, it's pretty chilling. But it is, if that's what it takes for us to become activated, to overcome our own, lethargy or indecision or apathy or hopelessness, whatever it takes, if it takes the house being on fire to get people to jump into action, we've got a house on fire.
We do. Humankind invariably shows its best and most gracious, generous, spiritually aware and loving side in the face of abject catastrophe. That's what
right.
It takes.
And we are certainly creating abject catastrophe, even without the intervention.
No, I agree.
But here we are. And so I think that the Allies really are calling upon the human spirit in a very profound way. And that's how it touched me, because a lot of other alien messages that I had read, really, they didn't speak to me at all. I mean, either this was a condescending talk down to human beings,
right,
or it was promising things that you should never trust anyone to promise.
There's so much deception out there. This reads to me as credible as any I've ever come across, and I haven't been able to read all of it, Marshall, but it's extraordinary. Two books that are here to consider and to read, and the wake-up call is quite clear. We either wake up or it's over.
And I think that's right, and I think there's a preparation that's been given us in Steps to Knowledge, the book of Inner Knowing, which is a gift from the Creator to all of us, that it comes at such a time of need, because, there is a power within us, and as the old Chinese proverb says, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And we had better start lighting those candles, and if we do so, that is what makes the difference, and that's something that we do as individuals, and that's something that we inspire in other people. But we need to get prepared to do that. We need to have something that can ignite this inner spiritual fire, this fire of knowledge that
right.
we have, that propels us into a kind of selfless action and enables us to get out of victimhood and become real contributors within whatever realm, within whatever sphere we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, the Allies briefings and the teaching in the greater community way of knowledge is to ignite that spiritual fire and that sense of human responsibility. If anything, we're entering an age of human cooperation responsibility.
Well, we need to leave the age of victimhood behind.
Well, we've got to start cleaning up the mess and start building a better future now.
Indeed. Marshall, thank you for being here. This is really remarkable, fascinating material.
Great. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Thank you, my friend. Good night.
Good night.
Marshall Vian Summers, The Allies of Humanity, Books 1 and Books 2. Something to think about. We'll be back soon. Enjoy. News break coming up next.